hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like.
X-Go, give it to you.
How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Biosonic sound experience. That's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
X-Go, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Prior to that, he was a running backs coach for the Iowa Hawkeyes for 3 years. He began his career as an offensive assistant with the University of Tennessee in 2012. Those Tennessee ties, right? The Chargers ranked 25th in rushing production last year. They were 30th in the previous year and 21st in 21. Chargers running back Austin Eckler is considered one of the league's top all-purpose backs and was instrumental for the Chargers' passing attack. So we get this brother in here. Foster joins a revamped New Orleans offensive staff that still has openings at the wide receiver position. As far as the coach is concerned, Kubiak is the new offensive coordinator, replacing longtime coordinator Pete Carmichael. Andrew Janoco will be the new QB coach, taking over for the departed Ronald Curry. John Benton takes over from Doug Marrone's place as the offensive line coach, and only tight end coach Clancy Barone remains among the team's offensive position coaches from a season ago. New Orleans ranked 21st in the rushing yardage last season, 31st in rushing yards per carry. And of course, Alvin Kamara is arguably the NFL's most versatile back. Jamal Williams had a quiet year after coming over from Detroit as a free agent, but was a 100-yard rusher and led the NFL in touchdowns, or a 1,000-yard rusher and led the NFL in touchdowns in 2022. Rookie third-round pick Kendre Miller was injured much of the year, but showed some explosive potential down the stretch. So shout out to Bob Rose. He wrote this article here and talked about Derek Foster being added to the team. Now, let me kind of share with you guys, Mr. Foster, let you hear his words and his perspective on the NFL. I'll give you a few minutes of a new running back coach, Derek Foster. Here we go. Put one in the chat.
Yeah, absolutely. So born and raised in, Goshen, Alabama, come from a single parent home, small area, rural area, where it's a small town where everybody kind of knows everyone. So I have two older brothers, and a sister. She's the youngest. My oldest brother, he lives in Montgomery, Alabama. And they both drive trucks. The other one lives in Troy. My sister lives closer to my older brother, which is in Montgomery. We're all really close to one another. Try to speak to one another on an occasional basis as much as possible. But like I said, I grew up the only child, grew up around sports. I had neighbors and friends in my neighborhood that I would always go play with, that kind of, help shape and mold me into the direction that I ended up going in my adolescent year and up in my adulthood. And so my dad was around. We got a great relationship right now, man. He is an awesome guy. He works hard, and him and I have a really good relationship. And so it wasn't that it was a bad, relationship between him and I. He just wasn't in my home.
Right.
But go ahead with that.
Yeah, no, that's great, man. From Alabama, man, and now transitioning, I kind of said in the intro, you took an advantage of opportunities. I'm curious, back in Alabama, as far as growing up and your atmosphere, were you looking forward to, what were you looking forward to? What did you have anything that you're like, hey, I hope I'm in this space in the future, as far as passions or a career or anything like that?
Oh, yes. Just a second. I'm going to finish that up. And this is Derek Foster being interviewed on. This is Austin Eckler, as y'all recognize. Austin has his own YouTube platform, and he interviews people he knows, so he has his own show, and he brought his running back coach, among other people, on the show. But shout out to Brent, says, I know it shouldn't matter, but who's older, Kubiak or Carr? Kubiak is 36 years of age, and Carr is 32. So, yeah, it's just hope there's no respect issue. No, I don't think there'll be. But yeah, Kubiak is, I think he was born in 87. I'm trying to remember off the report, but I think he's 30. He's 36 years of age and Carr is 32. Thank you, Brent. Appreciate you for the super chat, my friend. All right, here we're going back to the show.
Yeah, absolutely. It was sports. I grew up around sports, and like every Friday when in football season, my mom would always take me to the Friday football game. If it was, especially if it was a home game, and if it was close enough, I was there. If there was a basketball game going on, I was there. If there was baseball going on, I was there. You know, anything with activity, outdoor activities, anything to keep me moving, that I was a part of. And it was just a part of my childhood, you know. Right. And so that was my passion. And then when I was young, you know, I was able to watch everybody else's reaction to sports. And, you know, everybody else around me was very passionate about the game of sports. And it seemed to me as a child, it brought a lot of people together. And that's what I appreciated the most out of it, the atmosphere, the electric atmosphere, and the fans screaming and rooting you on and cheering you on. And so once I saw what that felt like, you know, and got a taste of it, it was kind of what, you know, fueled my fire and my passion. Was like, you know what, I think I can, you know, go on and do something really big, whether it's continuing on to play in, you know, professional level. And if not, one day maybe coach.
Awesome. So, yeah, man, I can relate to that just because I came from a small town. How big was your town that you grew up in?
Wow. So if you Google it and do Wikipedia, I think Wikipedia have us at like maybe 300, you know.
300,000?
No, 300.
300 people. Oh!
I think I'm pretty accurate on that. It's wow. Not a big, I'm telling you. I'm
wow,
telling you.
Man. Good for you. Oh, okay. Yeah. Now I'm excited for the next one, right, man? From 300 people to where you're at now, man. Like, I'm thinking my town is small, and we got 4,000, man. We're huge compared to you. Oh, my God. But no, we still had the same small town feel where it's like, yeah, you get the community support. Everyone's supporting each other, man. And just it brings you into that ecosystem. So you're still in. You're still in the game then, right? Not necessarily playing right now, but still found yourself a way to actually still contribute. Was there, you know, just as far talking about opportunities, was there an opportunity that stands out to you that you got? Obviously, there was a lot along the way, but one that really stands out to you that you took advantage of that kind of sprung you in this direction and kind of set the path for you?
Yeah, so once I graduated college, you're at this crossroad and you think you got it figured out and you really don't. You're just now starting to understand what life is going to be about, and you're still figuring things out. So I moved back home for a little while, and I started working at a plant called Smart Plant in Laverne, Alabama. And so basically it was a distributing plant for Hyundai, where we would inspect car parts to be assembled on Hyundai, you know, cars or whatnot. And so I was a quality control inspector. So I had several parts I had to evaluate and spectate and make sure everything was good. Well, anyway, my collegiate coach, who was he was my offensive coordinator in college. He had GA'd at Troy. It was ironic that he had did his graduate assistant like locally near my hometown. And so him and I had a great relationship. So anyway, he got the job at Valdosta State University. And I was just in the plant and I was like, man, listen, I want to be around the game I love. I want to be around people. I want to inspire people, help people, and help young men, you know, and that was my passion. And so I called him up and he was like, man, we don't have anything right now for you. And so, man, I'm at this plant. I'm working the night shift, right? So I'm going in at like 5:30 in the afternoon. I'm getting off at maybe 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning. Oh, wow. And I'm like, man, like, this is tough. You know what I mean? Like, this is tough. And so, but it wasn't my passion and I learned a lot there. You know what I mean? And those people that work there are awesome people. And I'm grateful for the opportunity they gave me, but it was not what I saw myself doing for my future. Right. So anyway, I finally called him and he picked up the phone. He said, hey, listen, I don't have a coaching job for you, but I do have a position for you if you'd be interested. And he said, it'd be working in the equipment management room. I said, okay, so be it. Like, I'll take it. So I drove over to Valdosta State. I met with the head coach. We sat down. We agreed that, you know, I was going to go to graduate school. They will pay for my graduate school, find me a place to live, and so forth after that, right? And everything else would kind of be on my own. So I just had to pay for my school out of the scholarship money that was provided for me. So there was no stipends after that. It was just simply, hey, this is your allotment of money. Right. Do with it what you will. Use it towards your classes, and then whatever's left over, you can, you know, use it towards your books or whatever you need it for.
Now, Derek Foster, this is a pretty interesting. It goes on for another 4 or 5 minutes, but this is a self-made guy. He talked about his father not being in the home, his motivation, why he got to where he is. You could talk about him working in the plant, in a factory, and ultimately taking a significantly lesser paying job, because he talked about the equipment manager situation. He worked his way up from that to that. And it just is a testament about people who have a vision for what they want to become and what they want to do. And they do not stop at nothing until they actualize, they realize, they materialize their vision. And that's what Derek Foster did. He did it in his story is really interesting, man. How he climbed from working, you know, an equipment manager up to into college rankings and then ultimately into the NFL. So, man, don't tell me about not being able to accomplish things in life, man. This guy did it. You guys read on him. Check out Derek Foster, man. Pretty phenomenal coach, man, with a good philosophy, a hardworking dude, really intelligent guy, man. And I'm just looking forward to see what he brings to the Saints running back room. You know, we had a pretty good running backs coach for a long time, but getting Derek Foster to work with our running backs, man, that's going to be special. And we have a pretty good group of running backs with AK-41. You got Brother Williams, Dejamal, you got Kendre Miller, and then whatever undrafted guys we bring along, man. So it's going to be fun watching him with those guys. And of course, let's move on to the next one. The Saints trying to get that wide receiver position filled. In terms of the coach, Saints targeting Ravens assistant Keith Williams for the wide receiver coach position. Another name to watch, according to Nick Underhill, reports that the Saints are interviewing Baltimore Ravens assistant Keith Williams for the wide receiver coach opening, looking to replace Cody Burns. Williams spent the last 3 years in Baltimore, initially starting out as the team's pass game specialist before focusing his work on the receiving core. But he's been in the game for a long time before coming to the NFL. He coached at Nebraska, Tulane, Fresno State, working closely with Derek Carr and Devontae Adams early in their collegiate careers. Circles always come back around. So you obviously have some familiarity with Carr and new insight to bring to the coaching staff. We'll see if the Saints are able to seal the deal and pull Williams away from Baltimore. So stay tuned. Clint Kubiak has checked most of the boxes and filling out his new look offensive coaching staff will receive the coach being the last major spot to field. So there you go, Keith Williams, fam, Keith Williams. And also, just so you guys will know, let me share. This is Keith Williams right here. Let me give you a little bit of his philosophy and what he's talking about as well. This could potentially be your new wide receiver coach, man. We'll know momentarily soon.
I guess, you know, you got a full plate, you know, with your responsibility with the Ravens, the private coaching, I guess. What drives you to continue working with kids at this point?
I just love wide out play. I love being out on the field. I love talking wide out play. I love being around anybody who wants to work and get better at wide out play and their craft. And so I know a lot of these kids, a lot of the kids are, you know, Eric, Mike's son and Benji's son. So, you know, like I said, we're all like family. So, you know, that's part of the motivation also. But again, I just love being around anybody who wants to get better at playing wide out.
And how, I guess, you know, what you mentioned and how you know a lot of the kids too, like how rewarding is it for you to be able to continue to see their growth and development, you know, through these early years?
Right. It's really rewarding because when I was working with them, when I lived here in Nebraska, you can see that they had this kind of potential, and for me to see that they stayed on track, you know, stayed the course, and then, you know, you're starting to see some of that potential play out and be reached. It's really rewarding.
So this is the thing. The guy obviously in his spare time worked with kids and he does a lot of positive stuff as well. So this is the kind of people that you incorporate into your offense, people that are community or environment so focused people, helping people, guys that love the game, want to, like he may mention himself, work with guys who want to get better, that want to, you know, develop their games. So this is a guy that could potentially be in there. Also, they're negotiating and talking to him right now. We should know something about this fairly soon. Okay, so that's a couple of things I have for you guys, and I'm probably going to stop on that, man, as we get ready to kind of get out of the stream. I don't want to keep you guys too late. But if you guys have any quick questions, please feel free to throw them in the chat before we get ready to dirk out of this thing, man. But listen, the staff is coming together. They're putting it together. As a matter of fact, let me show this to you guys once again. As you can see, this is kind of the list of things right here. Clint Kubiak is the OC. Andrew Janoco from Minnesota is the QB coach. The QB assistant will be determined. Running backs coach is Derek Foster. I played some of his interview. Wide receiver could possibly be the gentleman I just played for you, Mr. Keith Williams. And like I said, that's the last of the really big names is Williams. And of course, they'll finish the fill in the assistant underneath those guys, like the QB assistant or, you know, the rest of them. And another offensive line assistant and a senior assistant. Notice that is a to be determined situation. The senior assistant, aha, that could possibly be you know who. But we won't know that until pretty much later on in the game. You know what I'm saying? Later on in the game, like after July, if there is such a thing with him. And even if we'll see what they do with that position. You know, if they kind of hold on to that and they're not open that position right now, you know who they're holding it for. That could be the final leg of it with the OC being clear.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. X-Go, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience.
Acura wins Daytona.
And that, that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
X-Go, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
Swing into Seaside Golf in Ocean City, Maryland. Play like a pro at 17 championship courses designed by golf legends like Jack Nicklaus and Arthur Hills. Tee off on sweeping vistas at Eagle's Landing. Savor the coastal views of Lighthouse Sound. Or see why Ocean City Golf Club is considered one of the Mid-Atlantic's finest fairways. Whether you're sneaking in a quick round on a family vacation or going all in on a golf getaway, fun is always in play at Ocean City, Maryland. Plan your trip at OCOcean.com.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's brand new day all-purpose cleaner cleans and kills 99.9% of viruses and bacteria on hard, non-porous surfaces around your home with a fragrance that feels like a tropical getaway for your senses. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Clint, and then of course, the senior assistant being you know who. You know, so we'll see, man. We'll see. All right. What's up, Colorado? How you doing, fam? Pretty good, man. Blessed, man. Feeling pretty good, man. All right. Shout out to the fam. What's up, Lowe? Shout out to my brother, Lowe. What in the world, Bo? How you doing, brother? Appreciate my dog, Lowe, in the building. Hope everything going well with you out there, my friend. Jay Rodow says, thanks for putting out this content. Thank you, sir, for being here and spending some time with the fam. He says, was wondering what other coach hires was going to be. Who that? All right. Yeah, like we said, we make mention of the guy that just played, Keith Williams, is a report saying that he's there. The Saints want him to be the wide receiver coach. And then after that is really just assistant positions like assistant offensive line coach, stuff like that. You got your OC, you got your QB coach. You will have the QB assistant. You have your running backs coach. You're working on your wide receivers coach. You got your tight end coach already. You got your offensive line coach. Well, you know, you got all these guys, the list is in front of you, and then you got a few assistant positions left, and then the big shoe to drop is the final one, which is the senior assistant. A lot of people believe that'll ultimately be John Gruden. So, you know, we'll see how that all works out, man. All right. Anyway, let's see what else. Anybody? I need any more questions before we get ready to dirk out this thing. All right, Brian, you typing up a storm, brother. He says all these coaches that we're reacquiring for the Saints might be cool, but they have to do their job. They get this team to the next level into the Super Bowl. There's never been, in terms of a team in making a Super Bowl in its own stadium, right? In its own, you know, in the Super Bowl is going to be this upcoming year in the city of New Orleans. It's been a while since we've hosted it. In my estimation right now, it's very early on to say whether or not the Saints are going to make it. I don't think, I'm not trying to be negative about it, but it's never been done. And just because it never been done doesn't mean that it won't be done, but we all know why it never happened, you know, and that's just, it's just for the powers that be. It's not good business, you know, so, for that to happen. Even when Tom Brady, when they had the Super Bowl in Tampa and Tom Brady was the quarterback of Tampa Bay, it didn't happen then. Right. Remember, I think he fell short in it. So like I said, I don't think that will happen for the Saints this year. That's a lot to hang on to say that, okay, we're going to take the Saints going to the Super Bowl. I just, and listen, I'm a be positive about it as best as I can, but I'm also a realist, you know, and they, you know, and I always play, you know, y'all know my song, I always play. They're going to have to show some stuff. They're going to have to show me that they fixed a lot of stuff. I'm not going to just be buying into it, you know, and you know, you got to save yourself for that. Don't be putting your heart and all that stuff into it until these people show you that they're serious about it. I have not, from what they've been showing me in terms of what I've seen over the last couple of years, is that, you know, they do all the stuff in the off season to get you excited. But then when the on season start, they don't maintain the energy. You know, they don't put it all together. And that's a consistent pattern that I've seen happen. And then when stuff started breaking down, they don't want to fix it. They'll talk about fixing it, but they don't actually put the work in to fix it. They don't pull guys that's not playing well out. If Derek Carr is doing terrible, they don't chastise him. They coddle him, and you're not going to get anywhere with that, you know? And Dennis Allen is one of the worst. He's the worst for that type of model because, you know, he's a guy that some of these players don't trust because he threw him under the bus at the end of the season. We shouldn't have never heard about the fact that they ran a play without his permission. And I keep reiterating that the only reason we found out about that is because Dennis Allen told everybody so that he didn't get the blame for it. Who wants to play for a guy like that? So, I mean, like I said, man, you know, I don't know, man. It's just they got a lot of things have to change and the head coach has to change. He has to be better than what he is. We talk about them putting talent on the field, but it really is. It goes back to the head coach. Is this guy getting better as a head coach? What is he doing? You know what I'm saying? I mean, what is he improving his decision making? Is he working on his motivational techniques? Is he going to church and having somebody pray that demon out of him that like to backstab everybody and be a weasel? Is he doing, you see what I'm saying? Is he doing, you know, I'm serious on that. Is he doing some spiritual work to understand that, hey, you know, I am a weasel. I am a underhanded, no good, rotten weasel that, you know, that'll throw my team under the bus. And it just what it is how I came up. That's how I survive in this world. I have to be cutthroat. I have to be backstabby, you know, that kind of stuff. Do he fix that? So, I mean, like I said, man, it's a lot of stuff. And don't tell me they got rotten ass coaches in the game that are successful. But, you know, some of them are a little bit more craftier and slicker than to throw their entire offensive unit under the bus and apologize to Big Low Squad. I'm just saying, is any of that going to happen? Is he going to improve? And if the answer is no, then why would I expect anything different? Clint Kubiak had, and listen, I like Clint Kubiak. I like the system. But still in all, the guy is new. He never been in this position before. He's been, you know, a subordinate underneath the offensive coordinator. It's his first OC role. So he's going to have some learning to do. So it's not going to be instantaneous. So it's not like they hired an established offensive coordinator to come in and take the reins who knows what he's doing. They got a guy that's doing it for the first time. So I have to, you know, let you know that. I know that's the excitement. Hey, we doing this. Look what we got, family. We got this going on. We got this going. Listen, that's great. That's positive. I get it. But let's balance this thing. The guy is doing it for the first time. He's going to have to figure it out. So some mistakes are going to be made. Some mistakes are going to be made here. So it's going to be a patience factor. with this guy? And do you have the patience to deal with that with Dennis Allen in his third year going into it? That's a lot of pressure on Carson, a lot of pressure on Clint Kubiak, a lot of pressure on Loomis, a lot of pressure on Dennis Allen because of the aforementioned last 3 years of non-playoff football. Two under his administration, by the way. So anyway, just dropping that, man. All right. All right, Travis says he's going to bring over. Yeah, I agree with that, bro. Yeah, that's what they all do. You know, they all do that. They bring players over, whether it's offense. He's going to bring some offensive linemen, maybe a receiver or two. He's going to bring guys over to try to help the Saints system get together. And like I said, man, we'll see. Tim says, Q, what do you think about the O-line transition to zone run? Do we need new players? You're definitely going to need some new players, bro. You're definitely going to need that because based on what we was watching last year from what the Saints were running, and their system wasn't terribly complicated. That zone run system is, I ain't going to say it's complicated, but it requires some movement. You're going to have to move. Not only move, but pull either left or right. But when you get there, you got to block. And remember, there were times when I watched the Saints do that last year. They'll pull out there and don't block anybody or don't know who to block. And I'm like, okay, how did these guys always seem to pull and they miss blocks and guys get tackled? Like Elvin had two guys out front of him, two offensive linemen pull on. I talked about this before. And this is because this is the one that sticks in my mind from studying all this tape. It was a toss or a sweep play to the left side of the line. Two offensive linemen, Andrews Pete was one of them. I think McCoy was the other one that pulled to the left. They pulled and they were in front of Elvin Kamara. And I think Elvin had just crossed the line of scrimmage and there was one defender against two of those blockers. And some kind of way that guy got behind them and was able to tackle Kamara for a minimal gain. And I was like, how? You know, like you pull, but they get lost. Like, I don't know. And it's just sad. So John Benton, who's the offensive line coach, and Clint Kubiak, these guys are going to have to work on that. They're going to have to work on that because it ain't, you know, your best offensive lineman of many years, Ryan Ramczyk, is the right tackle. It's probably not going to play next year. You know, he got this real bad knee issue. It's career threatening. You currently don't have a left tackle. Your first round draft pick guy, Trevor Penning, is buried on a depth chart. They don't know what they're going to do with Penning. You know, I would recommend before people want to say switch him to a guard position, I'd like, before we do that, let's try him at the right tackle position. Try him at right tackle before we ultimately decide to guard him up. And depending on how much money the Saints have in free agency when they finally get down this $80+ million, tab that they have, depending on what they have, they might want to go into free agency and see if they can get a left tackle, a veteran. You know, I'm not, even though they have several really good offensive linemen in this upcoming draft and the Saints pick right around the middle there, I would kind of want to get a veteran for the blind side of the quarterback, but I wouldn't be mad if they did take a guy, you know, like the big Oregon State guy or perhaps a Latham out of Alabama. Or, you know, I don't think Joe Alt falls from Notre Dame, but, you know, something like that. You know what I'm saying? But I would prefer to take a veteran. But you're right, though. I think some of these guys, they'll pull some 49ers guys and some talent from there. Perhaps other places that they have, they know who can help them run that type of blocking scheme. So we'll see how it all works, man. But, yeah, they got a lot of work to do. Demi, shout out to you. Says, Q, good morning. I hear Jameis Winston wants to remain the Saint. Do you think D.A. keeps him? That's a great question, Demi. I don't know. I'm going to just be honest with you. I don't know because I seen Jameis was out here during the parade season. He's a man of the people. He's probably one of the most popular Saints on the team. And he's not even a starting quarterback. He's way more popular than the starting quarterback of the team. It's crazy. So I think Jameis probably wants to stay with the Saints, but I don't know if the Saints would be good. I ain't saying they're mad at him. But, you know, is it time for the Saints to move beyond Jameis with everything that happened at the back of the year with Jameis going in there and running that play? Dennis Allen's petty. You know, one thing I know about Dennis Allen, he's petty. So it could be a situation where Sam Darnold, who was with the 49ers as a backup last year, might be your new backup quarterback. If I was forced to make a bet on it for Jameis and I had to bet on it, like, oh, now you got to say yay or nay, I would have to say no to that because I know how Dennis Allen operates. even though he did after backstabbing Jameis, what was it, the year before last? They had to rework the deal to keep him. But when he ran that play, I don't think that's the thing that gets him out the door. But ultimately, I think Clint Kubiak decides who his backup quarterback is going to be to run, you know, for his system. And time might be up for Jameis. I don't think he got a fair shot here anyway. So I think if I was forced to bet, I would probably say no to Jameis being here, man. I would love to have him here. I don't think they're probably going to do their own thing. All right. Yeah, you're right, Kevin. That's a rookie at offensive tackle. Oh, boy. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the whole thing we try to avoid, with especially with Derek Hall on that side. He looked gun shy. You talking about. So that's why it's like, depending on the money situation, Kev, that's what it comes down to. You know, how much money could the Saints ultimately dial down? You know, how much money could they free up to do that and bring in to kind of help them? You know, that's the thing I'm looking at. I would like to have a veteran there, but they have to be able to afford it. Brandon says, I don't know. I know it won't happen, but it would be something if we somehow get Deebo Samuel from the Niners. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, bro. I don't think that's going to be happening. That would be fire, man. I'll take Deebo and Justin Ucheck. I'll take both of them dudes and put them on. Yeah, that would be awesome, to be honest with you, but I don't know if that's going to happen. Lester says, the O-line needs work, but sometimes if the QB makes a better decision, right, like nothing holding on to the ball forever, he won't get sacked or have to run for his life. Indeed. I don't think Carr has a clock in his head. I watched the film on it because it's weird. Derek Carr at times, I don't think he has a QB clock in his head, or if he does have one, it's very slow. And Drew Brees often talked about the QB clock, one Mississippi, two Mississippi, is a discipline thing. Understanding that you only have a certain amount of time to hold on to the ball and you get it. Derek Carr, if he has a clock, it's very slow, because Carr sometimes think he has all day back there. And like I said, 10 years, he has a lot of good things about his game, but to get for $150 million and then you're looking at a deep playoff run, you want him to take you there and he's never been there before. There's things in his game that he has to be willing to understand is holding him back, and he has to be real with him. He didn't do that last year. He didn't. When the biggest criticism that he received, and he made no mention about it, was the fact that he looks down half the field. He don't see no problem with that. You know, he don't see any issue with staring on the field, check the ball down a million times in a game. You know, the guy doesn't see a problem with that. I mean, because they let him do it for damn near the whole year. They didn't correct his behavior, which was weird to me. I'm like, okay, his numbers, but he'd been over 4,500 yards, multiple touchdowns. If he saw the field better, because he started to play better in the last year. I mean, the last month of the season, because he would look over the field and make the throws.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like.
Go give it to you.
How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. And that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
Let's go give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll be inviting everyone over. From barbecues to girls' night, the kids can even host their friends.
Whoa, it smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy, the way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus Essential Plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.